If I say the term domestic violence, what do you think first? A woman being slapped around? Maybe a woman being yelled at? Well, if you read the most recent New Jersey State Report on Domestic Violence, that term is defined by many more actions than just those two. One of the additional acts is murder. An example of this aspect of domestic violence recently took place in Maplewood, all because a woman texted her boyfriend that she wanted to end things between them. My next guest is with us to talk about how well the legal system serves victims of domestic violence in New Jersey. She is the founding partner of Sidon Family Law LLC in Cranford and was installed as the chair of the family law section of the New Jersey State Bar Association. Cheryl Sidon, how are you today, Cheryl?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Chris.
SidonFamilyLaw.com is the website. Learn more about the services that Cheryl and her attorneys do offer. Just give some background on, I briefly explained that it was basically a text message to what was about to become an ex-boyfriend that resulted in two murders.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that was a very emotionally charged case, Chris, and of course very unfortunate and sad to have heard that in the news. And, you know, that situation is really one where the domestic violence laws are there to protect. I mean, I think that there is a misnomer out there that domestic violence laws only apply to married couples getting divorced, and that, of course, is not true. This poor woman, of course, could have reached out to the police and requested a temporary restraining order and perhaps had the police at the home when the ex-boyfriend arrived in order to, you know, perhaps protected her in that terrible situation.
I want to get the woman's name, too, because she deserves more than this, actually. But Karen Bermudez Rodriguez was one of the two victims. She was the au pair for a comedy club owner, David Kimmelwitz. He was the other person killed who was in the house, the proverbial innocent bystander, as I guess we would say. And the murderer, whose name I'm not going to give, is now charged with two counts of murder. He's being held in the Essex County Jail. You mentioned orders of protection, Cheryl. I always question, are they always the effective tool? Because people think of them way too often as the standalone. Okay, I got this piece of paper that if this guy comes and kills me, I can go to the judge, and it doesn't always work that way.
Well, of course, right. You know, these temporary, the TROs, the temporary restraining orders, which in my experience are freely granted by the courts in order to provide this protection, are just that. It's a piece of paper, but it's a piece of paper that enables you to call the police and get the police to arrest somebody that is violating the temporary restraining order. So it certainly does provide you with some course of protection in these terrible situations. And now, you know, when we talk about this issue with the au pair, of course, the father, the host father that unfortunately was the innocent bystander, as you've referenced him, Chris, wouldn't be entitled to these temporary restraining orders because he's not protected under the domestic violence laws. But the au pair could have, if it was something that she was familiar about and there was this text communication, you know, that she could have alerted the police and received the temporary restraining order and the police could have been there to aid and assist, hopefully.
And she certainly had the precedent for it because, according to neighbors of the home, the boyfriend before the text message and everything, when everything exploded, before that happened, the boyfriend would be seen parked for hours outside the house just watching the house.
Right, and that would be considered something that we refer to as stalking. And it's always very important when there is a temporary restraining order that's being applied for to reference the history of domestic violence so that the judge that is hearing the matter knows it's not just this one incident, judge, but there is a history here, and I really do have a reason to be fearful, and I need this protection in order to provide safety. So that's a great piece of information that would have assisted the court in determining whether this matter was appropriate for a temporary restraining order to be issued.
When we think of domestic violence, again, we stereotypically go to the married couple, and the target, the victim of the violence, is usually restricted as much as possible. As they say, no place to go, which is why they way too often don't feel that they can leave. This was a case where the victim and the perpetrator, up to that, the final point, were in two different locations, but the influence of the violence was still an ongoing situation, apparently. The stalking, as we know, and there's probably more that we're going to find out about this relationship as time goes on.
Yeah, And the domestic violence laws, you know, protect more than just a married couple. They protect people in a dating relationship. They protect people who have a child in common or even an unborn child in common, people previously divorced or previously separated. I've even seen situations, Chris, where they're protecting people that live in the same households as roommates. So that's a type of situation where the domestic violence laws can come in to protect people. The law is also gender neutral. That's important to know, as well as, you know, any person over the age of 18 is eligible to contact the police under a domestic violence situation to apply for a temporary restraining order.
So with Attorney Cheryl Seiden, who is the founding partner of Seiden Family Law LLC based in Cranford, and she was also recently installed as the chair of the family law section of the New Jersey State Bar Association, SeidenFamilyLaw.com. We have a link over to our page, too, at issuesandideasradio.com. I was looking at, well, you mentioned when there's a order of protection violation. How long typically does someone get held in jail for that violation in New Jersey?
Yeah, that really, it depends. Ultimately, what would happen is they would be held, and then they would have to go to court and appear before a judge, and, you know, effectively you're innocent until proven guilty. So then they would have to go before a judge. But the violation of itself is another form of domestic violence, you know, because you're violating the temporary restraining order. What's important to know is that the issuance of the temporary restraining order is just a temporary restraining order, Chris. The victim and the defendant would need to appear in court. The court date is usually set for about 10 days later, and there would be a final restraining order hearing before a judge where evidence would be presented, witnesses would be called, and the court would then determine whether or not a final restraining order is needed. And in New Jersey, final restraining orders are that. They're final. There's no sunset provision. They would, you know, remain in effect, and they, you know, if there is a violation, again, that's another form of domestic violence, as well as a reason to be arrested. So it's important for people that are calling in to understand that the temporary restraining order is really just step one in the process to provide immediate relief. And while the temporary restraining orders, in my experience, are freely granted, the final restraining orders are not. That's going to be something that is more difficult to obtain, and it really just depends on the facts and circumstances of each case. And that would occur, I would say, somewhere around 10 days later, unless it's adjourned by the court.
Well, what you just said, too, is that something that adds importance to right now? There's something going through the State House in Trenton. It's AJR, Assembly Joint Resolution 115, that would create a New Jersey Domestic Violence and Legal Access Task Force that has a whole list of prerequisites of the membership. It would be people from academia, from law schools, from legal industry, lawyers, district attorneys, the case, and goes on from there. It passed the State Assembly 77-0. It's sitting in the State Senate right now. It's referred to the Senate Judiciary Committee, where at least not yet any action has been taken. And it would have 18 months to make a study and then report its findings to the governor and the state legislature. Is this something that could be seen as a means by which to fill any loopholes in and strengthen existing laws to make it a more user-friendly system for the victim of domestic violence?
Well, sure. And they're always, you know, the legislature, of course, is always trying to see what they can do to better the laws in light of many of these domestic violence incidents that we've heard of. You know, and in my opinion, education and knowledge is really power for these victims of domestic violence, knowing what the rights are. But of course, looking and studying the loopholes of the system is important as well.
And certainly to know, When you look at this, is the state report, the most recent stats for 2016 as far as domestic violence, what is considered to be a domestic violence offense, and that, like I said in the introduction, is not just simply yelling or striking, homicide, assault, terroristic threats, kidnapping, restraint, false imprisonment, sexual assault, criminal sexual contact, lewdness, burglary, harassment, stalking, criminal trespass. A lot of those cases, I can imagine there are women out there who have some of these lesser down the ladder actions being perpetrated against them, and they don't think, well, that's something I really shouldn't be calling the police about. I'll just deal with it myself and tell them to go away, which is obviously the wrong step to be taking.
Well, of course, that's why I say it's always difficult for women and men to make that first phone call and to obtain the temporary restraining order because it's so emotionally charged. I mean, breakups are emotionally charged. All of these incidents that you talk about are really difficult from an emotional point of view. But, you know, in looking at this, you know, as late as December of 2016, the domestic violence laws added cyber harassment as a recent addition to the DV statute. And, you know, that applies when there's a communication that's sent through an electronic device or social networking site intended to harass another person and threatening to injure somebody or something, or a communication that sends obscene materials around about that person or to that person that's intended to emotionally harm them or place fear in them. I mean, these are type of things that are not the typical assault that you would think of as domestic violence. These laws are broader than that, and they're really there intended to provide protection to victims when it is necessary. And I do really recommend, you know, where, of course, this occurs, that people know what their rights are and get the protections that they need.
Which is, strangely enough, very easy to do if you don't feel safe doing it on a home computer. Your local library has computers that you can simply put in quotation marks, because it narrows down the search results, domestic violence and the name of your town, city, or county, and it'll give you all the available services wherever you are. If you're listening on the stream out of New Jersey, same thing obviously goes for you. It's really very easy to find the support that, because, Cheryl, what these abusers try to do, they're their equivalent of kidnappers. They try to limit access to restoration of this, the individual's life, the individual being the victim, and they are made to think that no one wants you, no one cares about you, no one loves you, I'm it.
That's right. Especially if they have children together or an unborn child that's expecting, you know, expected. It's just so difficult to get yourself out of those type of situations. But there are resources there to help you. You know, having a consultation with an attorney to understand what your rights are is, of course, another avenue of recourse before, you know, diving into this. The police are there. You know, there are protections. And, you know, the Circle of Domestic Violence, of course, tries to prevent these victims from being able to get the help they so much need.
And that's why Cheryl's Law Firm is one of the go-to people, because, as you've heard here, she is certainly has the insight, the expertise with family law and everything that is related to the, when domestic violence is perpetrated. Find out more at Seiden Family Law, S-E-I-D-E-N, familylaw.com, which she's the founding partner. And she's also chair of the family law section of the New Jersey State Bar Association. Cheryl, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks for having me. I'm happy to help.